Cultivate Simple, episode 40, Stew
3.0.
I'd rather be a farmer. I'd rather work the land. I'd rather see the mountainsides. I'd rather see your hand. I'd rather swim the ocean. I'd rather not pretend.
Welcome to Cultivate Simple, an honest and unrehearsed discussion about trying to live a more simple life. And this is episode 40. And this is the second time we've recorded the intro, because the last time I hit the play button and not the record button. And today we're talking about a little bit of everything, because it's time for a stew episode. It's kind of funny because last week I said that we were going to do this week on, we're going to do a preserving, like preserving your food, and we're going to do canning and talk about, you know, and talk about something called stocking the larder, which we happened to do in episode 15 or something like that. So
when you said that, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
You, however, are not an introvert, so you don't file away these intricate details.
Whatever comes to my head. And so I think, who was it in the comments? Elise?
I think so.
Yeah. Elise, who commented that she was super excited about the preservation episode. It's been done. We've been there. We've done that.
But if you have any specific questions about it, feel free to ask in the comment section of this post and we will answer them. Maybe not next week. Sometimes we have a tendency to save them up if necessary, but sometimes we answer them the next week. Depends on when they come in and if we remember.
Yep. So we're going to start off tonight because I just got off the phone. I took over a new website. Got a new job. Signed a big contract. Woohoo! Well, not really, but signed a contract with a small local company and super excited about it. Just really great people. But they have an existing website, and this story is going somewhere. They have an existing website, and it's written in a language that I don't program in.
You're sounding super geeky right about now.
And I haven't even scratched the surface of geeky, lady.
Language that I don't.
Yeah, well, there are different languages that you program in, and this is one that I don't even want to learn. I don't even want to. It's a Microsoft proprietary piece of junk, and I'm feeling a little bit more hepped up about it because of what just happened. So, at any rate, something changed, and something needed changed. I won't get into all the details of that, but I had to make a change to the site, and so I did, and it messed the checkout process up. So the moral of the story is, thank goodness for backups, because I had backed up the file that I changed, which actually does a lot more than just the checkout process. It did order processing on the administration side and a bunch of other stuff. I tell you all this and bore you with details about ASP and programming languages, to say, we've talked about backup in the past, and so Brian's Geeky Corner, jumping right off the bat, is going to be another repeat.
Once again. Because people never remember it until they need it.
To back up. If you don't back up your files, you will lose your files. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, and I have another, and the problem is that a lot of people don't back them up, or they think putting them somewhere on the cloud counts as a backup. One of my friends earlier this week, she had a Google Plus account, and I'm not super familiar with Google Plus. I should be as a social media person, but whatever. I've just never really gotten into it. I guess she had a Google Plus account and had uploaded a ton of pictures there. Well, she has a blog, and she would always use the pictures from Google Plus. I suppose it's like Flickr, where you can use the like embed option or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it hosts the pictures for your blog. Well, she was using her Google Plus thing. Well, this week she got all hepped up about, like, you know, simplifying her life and getting rid of some of her social media.
I know where this is going.
She canceled her Google Plus account.
And no more photos.
And she's got no more pictures on her blog. So, I mean, that's one of those things that's just...
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully that wasn't like, oh, I don't need to back up my pictures because I've got them all on Google Plus or, you know, Flickr or whatever, you know, it's right. One of those things.
Well, and I'll agree and disagree with you. And I think it's okay to back things up on the cloud as long as you do them either in the right way or do them with a company that you're going to trust. But mm-hmm. Only having, yeah, because like you said, hopefully that wasn't her only record of those.
That wasn't her backup. You know what I mean? Now some people have them on their computers, but then they're like, oh, it doesn't matter if I back it up because I upload everything to Flickr, you know?
Right. Because some of the storage solutions that I would recommend, at a bare minimum, because I would recommend some cloud solutions, but it shouldn't be your only copy. Mm-hmm. It should never be your only copy. If you only have one of something, you have none. If you have two, you have one. Two is one, one is none. Three is wins all. So having a local backup, if you don't know how to do this, just Google it or whatever, Yahoo it.
Or barter with a friend
who's
geeky enough to know, maybe whatever you're good at.
If you live within 30 miles of me, let me know and I will set it up for you.
Something, yeah.
Because it's that important. Backing up your information, you want to talk about simplifying your life, not having to worry about your computer. And that's the problem is nobody does worry about it. Nobody even thinks about it until something bad happens. I was just listening to a podcast, a web design podcast. So, you know, these guys are fairly technically savvy. And this guy was talking about how he went on vacation and he decided that the only camera he was going to take was his phone. So he's taking pictures of his vacation to Europe and just really, you know, beautiful and lovely and wonderful and getting all these great shots. And his phone crashed on the flight back over to the United States. And when they resurrected it, all the data was gone. Ugh. So all of his photos were gone,
and I'm sure he hadn't put any of them up on Flickr
or so this is a good example. When you start to do those kinds of things, when you start to create data that is important to you, you need to back it up one way or another, and you need to think about that. You need to think, okay, I'm taking pictures on my phone. And I know a lot of people are doing this now. The camera phone, you know, the iPhones have really decent cameras in them. So, you know, it's the same as, or similar to a point and shoot camera. But they take all these photos and then they don't either download them to their computer. So they do have two copies of them. They just keep them on the phone and then, you know, show their friends on the phone. Well, if something happens to your phone, usually the first thing Apple does is they just reformat it because you should be backing those things up. Now, the good thing is with most phones, when you plug them in, they do back up. But another way, again, if you only have one copy of that, it's like having none. A good way, just this is an example, on phones with photos, you can install Dropbox and you can have Dropbox automatically upload your photos that you take on your phone. We have that on the iPad that we have. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, and the photos we're taking with the iPad are not are good ones, but it's good to have an extra copy of those.
Right. And it's convenient. If you need a copy of one of the pictures, it's easier to just go in and get it out of the Dropbox than it is to try it out. I mean, it's a pain. Because I think you would have to
download it to my computer and then send it to you, or email it from
Facebook it, or email it from the iPad to me, and then I'd have to download it and then, you know, do whatever to it to get it back to what I need to use it for. So it makes it a whole lot more convenient for those kinds of things as well.
So,
and sharing with other people.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. I've got Dropbox folders for tons of events, and I just send out a link to people. They download the pictures they want, and then, you know, it's convenient for file sharing as well.
So to be specific about the tip tonight, if you don't have a Dropbox account, you should get one. The great thing about Dropbox, if you don't know what Dropbox is, I think we've talked about it before.
Yeah, we have.
It's an application that installs on your computer and it gives you a folder. Whatever you put in that folder is not only on your local machine, but it goes on to Dropbox's servers. And it's all encrypted. It's all safe. It's all password protected. The good thing is then you can share that folder with other people or on other computers. So if you have, if you want to put that folder on a computer at work, then you can transfer files between work and home if you need to. Or like we were talking about with the phone, because they have apps for all the phones, for iPhone and for Android. And then you can set that up to, not only can you have all your files wherever you go, but you can also set it up to automatically back up photos and those types of things.
And that's particularly convenient for me because I have a bunch of files that I work on my desktop and on my laptop. And it was really convenient when I was traveling between locations. Like I would drive over to my mom's and I would need to make a change in one of the files that I had that she kind of had information for. And it was easy because I would have it right there. I wouldn't have to write it down and then come back and do it on my desktop. Mm-hmm. And then it's nice because I have those whenever I'm out. So if my dad calls me and needs some information, I can look it up and I have it with me if I've got my laptop with me. So
that's the specific tip for tonight, is get Dropbox. It's free for, I think, like 3 gigabytes of storage, which will get you a good ways.
That's what
ways.
I still have, is the free account. I think right. You have the upgraded account.
Yeah,
right?
I upgraded to the, I think they call it a pro account or something, but I use it for work. So I needed more space, but they also have something in the pro account. If this is going to be your only backup solution, which I don't recommend, but the good thing is at least you still have your local copy and then you'd have a copy on Dropbox. With the pro account, they actually have something called Rat Pack, which is an upgrade, and it saves unlimited copies. So say you put a Word document in there and you change the Word document, it'll actually save a copy of the last saved copy, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So then you'll have multiple copies of one document, but it'll be sort of a timeline of all of those copies. So the point is, you need to back up. You have to back up. If you're not backing up, you will lose your data at some point. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the time and the energy that it takes to set a system like this up is nothing compared to the time and energy that you will have to put in once something happens to your hard drive or once something happens to your phone and you lose all that data. You will, to retrieve it, you will spend thousands of dollars, literally, and, you know, countless hours and frustration, and just, it's so much easier just to set those things up first to get them going, so that when something bad does happen, your downtime is a matter of hours rather than a matter of days, mm-hmm. weeks, or, you know, some stuff just isn't recoverable. Unless, like I said, you send it off to a specialized company that'll take the hard drive into a clean room and rebuild it, and, you know, which costs thousands of dollars, then that data is just gone. So family photos, financial records, you know, emails, all that stuff, gone. Back up.
And I think I do, doesn't Dropbox gives you a, you can refer people and get extra space, right?
Yeah. Once you sign up for a Dropbox account, you can refer friends, and then they give you, I don't know what it is anymore. It used to be 250 megabytes, but I think it's like a gigabyte free on your Dropbox for life. So
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
If anyone signs up,
then you'll get a little bit extra space.
I'll get a little extra free space, which is good because I use Dropbox a ton for pictures for the blog.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a ton of, I keep a bunch in there just as evergreen pictures that I might need when I'm out on the road, mm-hmm. on the road, or for an emergency blog post when I'm not going to get home on time, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. But yeah. And if you just do a little bit of research, find out something about backup, because you should be backing up to external hard drives. I don't want to, you know, ram it into the ground, but in the same way, it saved my bacon tonight. If I would not have backed up that file and had a backup to restore, this e-commerce website would have been kind of hosed, and I would have been up a creek, because there would have been no way to recreate that file. I would have had to rebuild the website, and that takes weeks. So,
yeah.
So backing up that file, that little move, saved the day. So,
yeah, I'm up to 6.3 gigabytes on Dropbox.
That's good.
I've got 5 of it used already, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I keep a lot of stuff in Dropbox.
So, moving on from there. I just got off the phone with the owner of the company.
For like the last hour.
And I'm now scratching this bug bite in my leg just nervously, so I need to stop doing that. So I just got off the
Made you some chamomile tea.
The phone with the owner of the company, and once we got everything sorted, and I was just so kind of got the adrenaline going. So, anyways, moving on then. We've got some stew to stir.
So that's what's happening around the
run. Brian was getting ready to throw things out the window if need be. Oh, man. That kind of stuff just... It makes me happy when things like that work out in the end, but in the same way, it's
still a pain. And it's
just
still
such
stress.
A pain because it's... Yeah. So there you go. Moving on. Listener questions. So in our stew episodes, if you haven't listened to one before, man, I really scratched my leg. That's kind of where I got a little bit of sun yesterday. Mm. So it's stinging now. I need to go get some of that. What's that stuff that we use?
Comfrey St. John's Wort Salve.
Yeah.
From Mountain Rose Herbs. It's phenomenal for all things, anything.
How'd you discover that stuff?
I ordered a sample of all their salves once, I think. And we really like that one for bug bites and cuts and scrapes and just whatever.
Soreness. Yeah, general muscle soreness and aches and pains.
Yeah. Comfrey helps things heal faster. So it's particularly good on, you know, if you cut your finger or scrape yourself that's always happening to me out in the garden. Just because, I mean, that's the nature of working outside and working with lots of tools and doing a lot of stuff is that you increase your risk of getting bumps and bruises and cuts and scrapes and stuff. So I love it for that. Use it all the time.
I was riding around on the tractor yesterday and I have pasty white thighs as we I always wear like long shorts, so yeah,
as most Caucasians do, I
think. Right. And we but my new swim trunks come up above my knee a couple inches. And so I was like, oh, I'll just get a little bit of sun on my knees to condition them a little bit, you know, so nothing bad happens when we go swimming. And I guess I left my shorts rolled up a little too much because the tops of my legs are kind of red a little bit. I mean, it's not bad. It's not like horrible or anything. No. It's no, you know, crazy sunburn like I used to get when I was a kid living in Florida. But it's enough that when I just scratch that bug bite that's on top of my leg, it's now stinging a bit. So, Comfrey.
Yeah, works like a charm.
Yeah.
It was sort of jojoba, I read in the brochure that were sent home to us.
That's right. It's kind of interesting. It's funny because I had my shorts rolled up. So, if you can imagine me riding around in the tractor, having my shorts rolled up, and I was... I think I had mentioned in the podcast a few weeks ago that we finally got a hold of the tree trimming company that's trimming the power lines. And they've been delivering mulch by the, you know, huge truckload, probably 5 yards at a time or so. And so I was moving that yesterday with the tractor up around the garden area because we're trying to mulch large pieces of the land up there to expand the gardens and smother the grass. And as I was doing that, I rolled up my shorts, and I had a what would you call that? A gas mask? What's the word? It's like
respirator.
A respirator. Thank you. Oh man, that was tough. I had a respirator on because I have allergies as it is, and I'm kind of sensitive to dust and dusty. Right. Situations.
That's just a good idea to do that when you're working in a really dusty situation for reason, and that stuff's kind of like moldy.
Right.
It's got a lot of leaves and all that going on. It's just
and it's definitely composting. I mean, it's hot when you dig into that pile. There's heat and steam coming off of it in the middle of summer. So I had my respirator on, my shorts rolled up, and then we discovered a really...
I think we talked about it last week.
Great way, yeah, to take care of the deer flies. And so I had my hat with my blue Solo cup on top, pinned to the top of it, wearing my respirator with my shorts rolled up, and I had my headphones in because I was listening to podcasts, working on the tractor, and our neighbor BJ comes rolling up the driveway.
And I think, you know, she said you look like someone from... Doctor Who?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she, the first thing she said to me was, oh, I wish I had my camera.
Because she totally would take a picture of her on Facebook.
Yeah, it would have been on there. So I'm glad she didn't. But yeah, so that was fun. So moving on. Listener questions. The stew. So every once in a while, we do one of these shows where we save up listener questions and we...
just kind of talk about what's going on around here.
Just kind of roll through them. And just give sort of a general update. And since we had planned all week on doing a preservation podcast, even though you kept saying to me, I think we've done one of those. I think that was the... And so I finally went back and listened today to the Stocking Our Larder one, and sure enough. So go back and listen to that one. But we do have some good questions and some things we're going to talk through, and hopefully this will be beneficial. And if you do have any questions, anything at all, just put them in the show notes. These do generate conversation for us in our day-to-day and also on the podcast.
And it's good to save them up for topics too. So particularly like gardening questions. I get tons of gardening questions on the blog, you know, since that's kind of the focus of the blog. And it would be great to do listener questions about gardening, like a whole show about that, just here and there, you know, or about different topics. Yeah, it's great to spur on conversation and ideas and that kind of thing. So,
and it does help us out. I mean, it has been 40 episodes, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But it's been 40 episodes, and we really feel like we've run out of stuff to talk about. We feel like if you've been listening since the beginning,
the library talk schedule.
Yeah. If you've been listening from the beginning, and you know, for those of you that have been reading the blog for years, you know us better than some of our family members do. Actually, than most of our family members do. We just feel
it's
like...
It's kind of funny, though, because people always ask me that on the blog. Like, don't you ever run out of things to say? Or write about? How do you write a post every single day? Yeah. And I always say, I've got like 400 drafts in my WordPress database where it's just like ideas I've come up with of things I want to write about, or I start posts, or I put in quotes, or I put all kinds of stuff in there, and then I've just never gotten around to posting them. And probably about half of those are quotes that I find that I do every Sunday on the blog. But yeah, I mean, it's never a loss, it seems like, at least for me writing the blog. But talking for an hour and a half is a whole different ballgame.
Well, and I think the other portion of it, at least for me, is that I don't want to waste anybody's time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. I don't, because there are some podcasts that I've tried to listen to in the past, and it's just like, oh my gosh, I could have totally done without that. And so I don't want this one to be that. I don't want us to be just sort of, you know,
prattling on about this just and that.
Complete drivel about, you know, whatever.
How does I think Japanese beetle in here flying around and bouncing off the light, which really kind of drives me nuts.
Do you want to get it?
No. I think it actually may have knocked itself out.
See, this is drivel. This is exactly what I was talking about.
I know, that's why I said that.
Oh, brother. But so, yeah, we, to get back to the point of that, we would really appreciate questions, and especially specific questions. If there's something that you're wondering about that we have talked about in the past, sometimes people send us questions and it's like, hey, talk about, you know, mechanical engineering, or, you know, obviously, I don't know anything about that topic. So if it's something we've talked about in the past or something we've mentioned that we do and you have a question about it, it would be great to hear from you and to get more people's voices, as it were, on the on the podcast. So that brings us to question number one, which I'm trying to get back to my web browser, and
So this is about the fall and winter gardening.
Yeah, my stupid computer decided to do an update. Okay.
Fall and winter gardening. And this is from Angie. And she says, can you direct seed most of the stuff or do you recommend starting indoors? I think I was reading somewhere that certain things need started indoors if they like cooler temps to germinate. And that's true. Things like lettuce prefer cooler temperatures. Back in Ohio, I would often lay the seed flats on the floor of the basement, which is cool because lettuce likes, you know, like 55, 60 degree temperature to germinate. And then I would sow my lettuce down there. Other stuff doesn't necessarily matter as much. The thing that always makes me start things indoors, even in the middle of summer, is just because it's convenient because I don't always have the space cleared to do it outside. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you almost have a month of cushion if you start your plants that you want to replace your spring crops in the garden. You can start them a month beforehand, grow them on in pots, and then once they're a good size, you know, you calculate it so that when your garlic comes out, you're planting decent-sized broccoli plants or cabbage or, you know, whatever you're replacing it with. So mm-hmm. It gives you an extra, I mean, it's almost like giving you an extra month of sowing or growing time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the insect load. So, you know, the height of summer is when insects are often at their worst in the garden, flea beetles and cabbage worms and all that kind of stuff. You know, in a cabbage, if you think about the damage that a caterpillar, either of the two, is going to do to your big cabbage plants, think about what it's going to do to a tiny seedling.
It
can wipe out your entire row in no time. So can slugs. I mean, flea beetles on like a little cabbage seedling can just kill it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times starting things like that indoors is of benefit because by the time you do plant them outside, they're big enough that they can take some insect load and it's not going to kill the plant. So that's kind of the main reason I start a lot of things in pots. Now beets and that kind of stuff, well, you can do them in seed flats and it gives you that extra, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 week time. I just haven't had, like, I haven't been able to be organized to start everything in flats that early. I'm lucky if I can get 2 or 3 done in the middle of the summer. So
it also gives you control over
the environment. Yeah, which in the summer, particularly if you live, I mean, in the Midwest, when we lived in Ohio, you just never know what you're going to get. And the problem is if you have little broccoli plants, if they get a lot of 90 degree weather, they have more of a tendency to,
or a sudden downpour,
or bolt, or those kinds of things. So, by the time maybe you're going to plant them in their garden, the weather, you know, maybe it's August and it's not quite as hot as it was in July or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it gives you a little more control over that.
So if you start something, like you're talking about starting something in the midsummer, so as you're harvesting something, you can plant it out. Mm-hmm. Do you still need to do the whole hardening off process then? Or can you...
You do need to, as far as the sun is concerned. Mm. But typically when I have seedlings of stuff, if it's not really cold outside, I will often put them outside in a sheltered location. So that's where a cold frame or something. I have a picnic table out by the garden. And it seems like because those plants are separate from the main garden, I don't really have pest issues on there. You need to harden them off as far as the sun is concerned. Because if you put them out, they'll get sunburnt. The weather isn't necessarily, you know, like the cold isn't as big of a deal as it is sometimes with spring hardening off. But definitely for the sun it is, because otherwise you'll just crisp up those seedlings and they'll...
And all your work will be for naught.
Exactly.
All right. So hopefully that answers that question. Going on to Amy S. She said, just listening now to the podcast, I do have a question. I have a terrible time with the squash bug, and no matter what I do to try to get rid of them, they still take all of the plants. I only have 2 squash plants left. All the zucchini, summer squash, and spaghetti squash is dead. 2 questions, I guess. Would it make a difference if I planted my zucchini elsewhere, like in landscaping, like in the front of my house? So why don't you go ahead and answer that one first?
It might. I mean, you can try it and see. That's a tough one. Squash bugs can be a real pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, try it. I mean, why not? If you've got the space out there, give it a go and see.
The good thing about planting, I don't know what the... I know that that's one of the sort of thoughts behind permaculture is biodiversity and mixing species so that...
Right, to attract... it's better at attracting predators. And now, as far as the squash bug is concerned, there are a couple predators. In some areas of the country, there aren't as many. So there are parasitic wasps, and there's a fly also that is a predator of the squash bug. And then you have birds back in Ohio. I think the birds were my best predator as far as squash bugs were concerned. So planting things that attract birds, maybe putting out a bird feeder, putting out bird houses, that kind of thing. Birds really are one of your best allies as far as insect control in the garden.
And they're fun to watch.
I mean, you don't have to have chickens. The best thing for squash bugs is guinea fowl. I mean, they'll clear a whole acre of squash bugs if you've got them. I mean, they're just amazing as far as that's concerned, and other things, particularly ticks and those kinds of things. But squash bugs, I hear they're really great at that. So, but I mean, if you can't have them, then you have to go with other options. But attracting other kinds of birds would be beneficial as well. You can also grow varieties that are a little less susceptible to them. Interesting story. I have three different zucchinis out in my front 5x5 garden. I noticed when I got back from Ohio at the beginning of July that one of the plants had the yellowing of the leaves, which is the telltale sign that you've got a squash bug. So I flipped over the leaves, and sure enough, you can see the eggs. And you know, if you've got insects, learn to identify them, learn to identify the eggs, because the squash bugs, you can smash the eggs if you want to help kind of control them a little bit. That'll go a long way in kind of breaking the cycle. So one of my plants did, and it, you know, some of the leaves are still yellow. The plant is stunted. Now it hasn't died yet. It seems to be pulling through. It's just starting to put off little buds. But then I have two other zucchini plants not affected in the least bit. Did not attract the squash bug. They weren't bothered whatsoever. I've got pumpkin vines in the back of certain varieties, evidently also not bothered by the squash bug because there are no signs whatsoever back there either. So, and then last fall there were squash bugs here because there were a couple squash vines, pumpkin vines out in the back garden, and they were completely covered in squash bugs. So you can find varieties that are kind of resistant. So maybe you just need to try new varieties. Do some research. You might be able to find information out there
or ask about them. Local gardeners
ask
too
around. Yeah,
because I think that's a regional thing as well.
Yeah, so mine are just the, like, from the rainbow garden mix of the zucchini from Renee's garden, and it's the, like, the dark green one, and then there's a light green one that weren't susceptible, and then there's a yellow summer squash, but it's the one that got affected by the squash bugs. So I'd recommend trying to find varieties that aren't susceptible, attracting birds. They say picking up all the litter from the plants in the fall. I mean, the problem is they overwinter in the ground and all kinds of stuff. But eventually you'll probably attract some sort of predatory species that's going to be able to eat it, as long as you're not using pesticides and stuff against it. So.
And she had another question. If starting new plants, hoping for a fall crop, will the squash bugs still be around and destroy those as well?
They will still be around, I think. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've read up on squash bugs, but I think they have a couple of generations in the summer. I mean, I think the adult ones are the ones that kind of, well, I don't know. I'd have to read up a little bit more on them. But your risk is probably high. I would try different varieties and see if that works.
And she actually got a reply on the blog by the username Penny Asheville, North Carolina. Said that she says, I use ground up orange rinds and sprinkled generously around the plants, but can't be sure if that's what saved them or if something else was happening, like a predator insect. This year, I'm using diatomaceous earth to deter slugs. Could that work, maybe? Squash bugs are the devil once you get them. Good luck.
Yeah, so, DE wouldn't work on them most likely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I don't use. I don't like to use diatomaceous earth in the garden because it can be hazardous to bees and stuff as well. I mean, a lot of people use it because it's just supposed to be harmful for worms,
mm-hmm.
In particular caterpillars, that kind of thing. But if you think about it, if a honeybee gets it on its legs and stuff and takes it back to the hive, their larvae are
right
little caterpillar worm type, you know, soft-bodied insects, so it can cause problems there. And as far as earthworms and stuff, you know, I'm kind of hesitant about using even the organic things. Best way to control slugs is to attract some toads to your garden. They're wonderful. And the problem with using certain pesticides is the even organic ones, there's one called, I think, Sluggo, but it's harmful to aquatic species and birds. So the very thing you need in your garden to deal with the slugs,
the problem naturally,
you're causing harm to by using this organic control. It's always best if you can to try to figure out what your predatory insects are going to be and figure out how you can make your garden more attractive to that species. Because if you can get nature to balance itself out, it's going to make your life a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the more you step in and try to control things, the more out of balance everything gets. Right. So
the more time you have to spend controlling them in the future. Good advice. Nebraska Dave said, we like Nebraska Dave. He's funny. He's always got a good comment, and he always tells us to enjoy the Maine weather.
Yeah.
Nebraska Dave was talking about Monty Don's garden, and he said that he was doing some hedges, I think, or some walls at his place.
He's working on fencing around his garden, which I think is Terra Nova. I believe that's the name of his gardens.
And he was saying that he was watching the Monty Don Fork to Fork and noticing his gardens, and which we have been to,
his hedges
and his wattle fences, and just absolutely beautiful. But
it's not your boring typical Midwestern American vegetable garden, that's right, for sure.
Yeah. But Nebraska Dave said something in his comment about I should have copied it over to the show notes or the notes that we use, but it was something to the effect of, you know, my garden will never look like that, or I can't imagine.
Yeah.
You know? So you're reading one of Monty Don's books about his garden. When did they purchase that property? When did he start
95,
that?
95,
so 18 years.
95, been 91, working on it. Something like that. It says, I think, in the beginning of the book, but yeah.
I just wanted to make a comment about that because we sort of had a funny story that relates to that. And it's all about having the long view when it comes to your garden or to your property or to anything that you're going to do. We had a friend back in Ohio, still really good friends with her, but every time she would come over and Susie would point out like a hydrangea or point out some bushes that she was growing, or there was an area of our garden, it was on the side of our house, people rarely saw it had like the, you know, the air conditioner, the outdoor part of the air conditioner unit was over there, and it was kind of the neglected side of the house, but you use that as kind of your nursery area for starting plants or propagating plants, and you'd always say, oh, well, in 2 years I'm going to move this over here, and I'm going to split this in 3 years, and then I'll have, you know, two of them, and I can move them here and there, and she would always say, you just have, how would she say that you just can see into the future. She said, I want it done now. I want to go to the store and buy it and it'd be done and over with. She said,
buy a big plant and pop it in the ground.
And just be done. And I just thought that was an interesting perspective because you showed me the pictures that, like I said, we were looking at Monty Don's garden and the Fork to Fork show and just how beautiful it is and the hedges and the fences and just everything about it is just amazing. And then you showed me that picture of when they purchased the property and it's
nothing.
Kind of looks like our backyard.
It was like nothing. It was a pasture essentially.
Yeah. And so that's something I think I just, when I read that comment, I was like, we need to encourage everybody to look at the long view, to really have, to try to have, because it's very difficult to have a vision for what you want.
I think that's kind of a stumbling block for a lot of people, is that they don't I don't know if it's not having the patience to wait or just that becomes like a hindrance to doing things because mm-hmm. you're like, well, it's going to be 10 years before yeah. that happens. So I don't know.
But my grandma,
yeah, you know, and the blueberry bushes that yeah. she's been saying she should have planted 5 years ago, ever since we started dating,
right?
17 years ago.
Right.
So, I mean, if she would have planted them that
I
first
wish
year,
I had some blueberry bushes. Well, you've got this huge yard.
If she go out and pop some in the ground. Years ago, when I said go buy some and plant them, yeah. I don't know. I'm getting too old for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
for the last 15 years, she could have been picking her own blueberries in her own backyard. But I think that just, I don't know if it deters a lot of people from doing, like embarking on big projects or doing big things, particularly in the garden. You know, I've been thinking about that as we live here, and I want to plant some really nice kind of species trees, mm-hmm. Maybe like a copper beech somewhere. And that's, you know, probably in my lifetime, it's not going to be like a specimen tree. I meant specimen. It's not going to be like this beautiful specimen,
mm-hmm.
but it might be in the next person's lifetime, you know, and I can watch it grow. Just kind of think of putting in, you know, trees and hedges. I'm definitely putting a big hedge around, especially the back of our main garden up in the back. I'm thinking I might do beech back there. I need to do either beech or hornbeam. I haven't decided which one, but something that I can let get rather tall back there. And then on the one side, I'll do maybe hawthorn. Not positive yet on that. But yeah, trying to think about how, you know, what size of plant I want to buy, how long it's going to take them to get to the point where they're producing a windbreak and helping with that kind of thing and helping mm-hmm. maybe the weed seeds from the pasture not blow into the garden, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it definitely is the long view and thinking about, you know, I'm not even going to plant the hedges probably for 2 years, I'm assuming. You know, I have to get the soil ready and that kind of thing. So yeah, having the long view and having the patience and the fortitude to see it through mm-hmm. and to do things properly. 'Cause sometimes people try to cut corners to get things done faster and then it ends up causing more problems and more work. You know, I could have put in a hedge this year, but I'm better off if I mulch the ground, smother the plants that are there, improve the soil, and then plant my hedge once I have a good clean area to plant them in, so I won't have to worry about weeding them as much and the plants will grow better and have less trouble with disease.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so
Melissa Smith asked about time savers. She said, what do you do in your daily life to save time, mainly in relation to food, animal, and garden tasks? And so we just came up with a couple. It's kind of hard to quantify how we save time. And mm-hmm. we waste a lot of time, too.
Right.
I waste a lot more than you. So we just kind of came up with a few things that we think we do. And maybe if somebody else has some good tips on how to save time, please put them in the show notes. 'Cause this is one of those things, I think. First of all, I think you have to find your own things. It might be difficult to incorporate somebody else's like time-saving tip into your routine because it's not yours. So the first thing is meals. One thing you do to save meals is cook big and then eat on it all week.
Right, or freeze it for later if mm-hmm. you're not someone that likes to do leftovers or can creatively make the leftovers different. You know, so, and I think I've talked about this before. So like, if you make a big roast on Sunday, why not do two? And then you've got the meat. So then maybe on Monday, if you want leftover roast, you can just do leftover roast. If you got the vegetables to go with that, great. If not, then maybe you can use that extra roast that you cooked and mix some barbecue sauce or something in with that and then have pulled beef sandwiches. Or you can mix some Mexican spices in with that and make enchiladas or, I mean, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I save a lot of time by doing those kinds of things. So if I'm frying onions, if I need one fried onion for a meal or for something I'm making, I typically fry five or six onions, because then that's the only time I'm going to need to fry onions that entire week, because pretty much everything I make has fried onions in it. So that saves me, I mean, even if it's only a couple minutes, it still saves me a couple minutes each day just by doing it all at once, because it doesn't really take any extra time to do that. And the same goes for, I mean, that's kind of how I do a lot of things. And then another way I do in the kitchen is while I'm doing one thing, I often will catch up on the kitchen chores and the stuff that need done. So while I'm frying those onions, I could be washing up the dishes, washing up all the dishes that have kind of accumulated during the afternoon, or the cooking dishes that I've already accumulated while cooking. I'll do things like I'll feed my sourdough starter, I'll get out my yogurt and maybe get the process started for making yogurt while I'm sitting in the kitchen. You know, I don't have to be stirring the onions the whole time, but you kind of have to be there monitoring. You can get a lot of other stuff done instead of just, I don't know what most people do in that time.
Stand there and watch the onions cook.
Maybe they do the same thing I do. I don't know. But I feel like that saves me a ton of time because I get a lot of stuff done that other people might see as a hindrance. You know, a lot of people say, oh, sourdough is great, but I just can't go to the work of maintaining a starter and that kind of thing. Or, you know, mixing up the bread. Well, typically all those things are done while I'm doing something else in the kitchen. So it's not that I'm taking time necessarily out of my day to do those things.
Well, and something you said too, that, you know, you might save a couple minutes here or there, but, you know, a couple minutes add up to a couple hours every week, and a couple hours every week is a few days every month, you know, or every year. So, yeah, I mean, it's worth it to do, and it's worth it to find those little things.
Another and think one, about that. And I think that that's one of the reasons that people always tell me that. They say, I don't know how you get so much done. And I think part of the reason I do is because, for one, my mind works that way. I'm a very efficient person. So whenever I'm doing something, I'm always trying to figure out how I can do it more efficiently, how I can make the process faster, how I can streamline the process and waste less time, waste less energy, and figure out what I can do to take advantage of the little bits of spare time here and there that happen throughout that process. So, I mean, my mind kind of works that way, which is why I think I can be pretty efficient. You know, as I'm, like right now, I'm developing a new system of fermenting all of the food that we're feeding our animals, particularly the birds. So, and it's kind of one of those things that's really, it seems like it takes a good deal amount, not a ton of time, but it takes more time than I was spending before. But it's one of those things I'm trying to figure out as I do it, like what's the, how can I streamline this and figure this out so that it takes a minimal amount of time each week. And a lot of times that does involve doing everything at once if you can, you know, doing things for multiple days on one day all at once, kind of like cooking up all the onions at one time instead of cooking onions every single night. So my mind just kind of works that way. So I'm constantly, and that's something maybe you can learn to be more in tune with. Notice where you're wasting time. It's kind of like your budget. If you're trying to save money and spend less money, you need to write down every single penny that you spend during the month, and then kind of look at that and see where you can cut back. And maybe you need to do that with your day. Like, write down, and maybe you'll notice that you're spending, you know, 5 minutes here doing something you don't really need to do. Or, you know, you're, oh, well, I have something to mail, so I might as well run it to the post office instead of waiting until I'm on my way to work tomorrow, or you know, one of those kinds of things. So
right, because you're not only wasting time then, you're not only wasting time then, but you're also wasting money, because you know, if the post office is 4 miles away, well, 3 or 4 trips to the post office is a gallon of gas, and that's $4. So, you know, it all adds up. Another one that kind of goes along with that is routine. I know that for certain things, like you were saying about the pig or about the food for the animals and different things like that, it sometimes helps to get into a routine, because then you can start to maximize your time within that routine. If you do something over and over and over again, you'll start to see where in that process, you're wasting the, you know, a couple minutes here, a couple mm-hmm. minutes there, and how you can either do something else with that wasted time or how you can maximize the workflow in order to get the most out of your time. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps too when it comes to, because she asked about tips for animals too. I think that routines help when taking care of animals mm-hmm. because they know what to expect. So if it's a certain time of the day, like we feed the pigs at a certain time of the day, the pigs expect their meal at mm-hmm. that time of the day. But it also, we don't have to try to, you know, get the pigs up there to eat the food before the chickens run up there and eat the food or anything like mm-hmm. that, because the pigs are waiting when we walk out there with their food. Mm-hmm. And same thing with, you know, the cats. Sometimes we let the cats outside, but they know that they need to be back inside to eat their meal. But then that's also, you can use those things to your advantage too.
Right, because we never have to worry about calling the cats at night generally, because right. once they get their evening meal, we just keep them inside. So we don't have to spend 5 or 10 minutes outside trying to find the cat.
Right.
Cats. To get them inside at
night. So that's, you can work that routine into your advantage.
And the same goes for like chickens. I mean, training mm-hmm. chickens to come to you by throwing out some scratch every time you go outside is fabulous, because then your chickens are trained and you can pretty much get them to go wherever you want them to go. Sometimes it can be annoying if every time you go outside, they come running up to you, yeah. but it certainly makes life a lot easier. You know, mm-hmm. they learn, they come running up to you and look at you. And then within a couple seconds, if they don't see you have a jar, they kind of walk away all disappointed.
Yeah.
But it certainly makes life easier when you do need to get them inside early, if you're leaving or something like that. You know, training and consistency with all the animals really helps.
Another thing is don't let things get out of hand. Mm-hmm. And some examples of this would be like with cleaning. We've talked before.
It's always easier to maintain clean than it is to get back to clean from really, really dirty. Right. So,
which is the reason we haven't cleaned our windows in this house yet.
Exactly.
Because it's going to take days, which we need to do before.
I just stripped all the wax off of the kitchen floor, which the previous owners had, you know, stripping the wax off the kitchen floor wasn't among their priorities.
In fact, I don't think they had done it since they moved in here.
Probably not.
Or built the place.
Yeah. So it was pretty
thick.
Thick and
nasty.
Yeah.
Gross.
So yeah. So I probably spent 30, 40 hours stripping the wax off of the kitchen floor.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's true.
But see, that's the thing. My floors back in Ohio would take me, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe to clean all the floors in the entire house.
Yeah.
Because I had maintained, I mean, you know, we had eventually swapped out the floors and had new floors, and they were,
yeah,
you know, you maintain clean, so it doesn't take a lot of time. So, I mean, yeah, that's one of those things too.
And it also applies to the garden as far as like mm-hmm. weeding. If you, like, we went away for 3 weeks to Ohio and we come back and the gardens are just overrun with weeds.
Right.
And then it, I think that's not only a sort of a practical measure of how much time it takes, but also just a mental block it then becomes of, oh my gosh,
you know, there's a huge chore.
Right.
I was thinking about that today when I was out in the, we have a little potager kind of in the back behind the house. It's 25 feet by 25 feet roughly. And I was back there transplanting something and I thought to myself, oh, this garden's really nice. There's there's really not a weed to be found in the garden. And then I thought, that's interesting, because I feel like I never weed this garden. And I do add mulch and, you know, try to do all of those things that help keep the weed seeds from germinating and to help suppress the weeds. But it's a new garden space and the previous owners hadn't done that. So, I mean, the seed bank, there are tons of weeds in there if there's uncovered soil, that kind of thing. But the main reason there aren't a ton of weeds, and I don't feel like I've had to spend a ton of time weeding, is because every time I go out to pick something and look around, I pick any weed that I see. So it's the difference of pulling maybe 20 weeds every day as opposed to hundreds and thousands on one day a month.
Right.
So, I mean, that really does make a lot of difference. It's just kind of, and it feels like you don't have to spend time. So I don't have to set aside the time to weed the garden because it's done as I'm walking around, harvesting things, looking, monitoring, watering, doing all of those other chores. And it's a second here and a second there, as opposed to having to find a couple hours.
Right. Which then you don't do, and then the garden gets overrun. And then
things go to seed, and you're worse off than you were when you started.
So don't let it get out of hand. And then the last one we said was simplify.
It's a lot easier to do things when you don't have things to do.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Lesson that we're still learning.
And that's hard, though, because, I mean, we definitely live in a culture where we're taught to indulge yourself, you know? Right. I mean, you hear it all the time. You deserve it.
I deserve it.
You deserve this. You deserve that for, you know, whatever, going to work in the morning, which is, okay, well, you get your paycheck, so...
Right.
You know? But, I mean, it's true. There are just so many things that you can do. And it's always a lot easier to do the things that are more fun viewed as... I don't know. They're like the scapegoat things, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a good example is this past week was the Kneading Conference up in Skowhegan, which I would love to go to. It's right up my alley. It's all about local grains and artisan bread baking and building wood-fired ovens and that kind of thing. And I could have found the time in my schedule to go. Wouldn't have been a big deal. I could have dropped everything and gone. But we stayed home on Saturday and we both worked in the garden all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I don't regret not going. I would have enjoyed it had I gone. I enjoyed staying home. Neither one was, you know, better or worse than the other. But because I chose to stay home, I got mulch on a huge section of the back garden, which is going to suppress the weeds that were there. Next spring, it's going to provide a virtually weed-free side of the garden, which I may or may not plant in. I might just let it go fallow. But because I chose one thing over the other,
it's going to pay more dividends
in the future. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like investing your time wisely, you know. And sometimes you just have to choose not to
necessarily do the fun thing or
to overschedule yourself.
Yeah.
If you do want to, if your priority is to, say, have some chickens and, you know, have a little garden, that kind of thing, maybe you do need to scale back on some of your other things so you don't feel like you're running yourself ragged, and realize that you can't do it all. And it's kind of like we had dinner with our friends a couple weeks ago when we were back in Ohio, and they have younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
How old are they? Like 7 and...
No. 6 and 4, I think. At any rate.
Anyways.
Either 6 or 4. Yeah, like I think 6 and 4. Or 7 and 5.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, and we were talking to them, and he said, you know, he said, we've learned that saying no actually makes for happier kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, and it's the same for yourself. Learning to say no to things and set boundaries actually creates a lot more time and energy in your life for the things that maybe you really do want to do,
mm-hmm.
or the things that you don't want to do. Maybe you just want to sit home and not do anything. You have to be really adamant sometimes about not doing everything that seems like fun or that everybody asks you to do. Because it can get a little crazy. And it's particularly important if you're an introvert. Because it just gets really crazy.
Yeah.
And because it takes extra time to come down off of those.
Right.
Those things.
So hopefully those are some tips. I don't know about time savers, but more about... Because you can't save time. I mean, that's kind of the thing, is everybody's only allotted so many minutes, if you want to think about it philosophically. And so you really just need to take the time that you're given and maximize it. Mm-hmm. Get the most out of it you possibly can. And so I'm going to make a commitment. From now, tonight is Sunday night, until next week, I'm not getting on Facebook.
Oh, really?
That's right. A week without Facebook.
Can that really happen?
I hope so. You're going to have to tell me what happens in the world, but because it's like my only connection to news and other things as well. But
yeah.
I'm not getting on Facebook this week. That's it. I sent a message tonight to somebody I needed to send a message to. And so if anybody needs to get in contact with me, email this week. Don't send me a message on Facebook.
Maybe I'll periodically check your account to make sure nobody's messaging you there for important.
Yeah, I do have a couple business contacts that's how they get a hold of me through.
Yeah.
But that's all right. No Facebook this week. Because Facebook is one of those things for me
it can be such a time suck.
Oh my gosh. When I'm sitting there working and so I'll finish up one little project and get ready to move on to the next. And I'm like, I'll just check Facebook real quick. Which then, you know, some interesting article pops up. Or this week, since I'm involved with the fire department now, like search and rescue stuff is really interesting to me. And so this weekend there were two missing people in Maine, one on the Appalachian Trail and one up in Deer Isle. And Mount Desert Isle. So then I had to read the news stories and, you know, so then it turns into like a 20-minute distraction. Mm-hmm. So this week, no Facebook.
It does.
That you heard happens. It here first, folks. Do it with me. Who's with me? Who's giving up Facebook this week? Leave your name in the comments and let us know. I'm giving up Facebook for the week. And if you're not on Facebook, don't make some quippy little comment about, yeah, I'm going to give up Facebook too. It's like, you know.
I can't give up Facebook.
I'm going to give up chocolate cake because I hate chocolate cake. Yeah, whatever. All right.
But I have a great quote I can read.
Go ahead.
By Mark McGuinness.
Oh, that's right.
Good quote. It says, if you want to create something worthwhile with your life, you need to draw a line between the world's demands and your own ambitions. Yes, we all have bills to pay and obligations to satisfy, but for most of us, there's a wide gray area between the have-tos and the want-tos in our life. If you're not careful, that area will fill up with email, meetings, and the requests of others, leaving no room for the work you consider important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true, and it does. It gets filled up with, you know, checking your Facebook and emailing people and looking at Pinterest and,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, reading the newspaper or watching Good Morning America or all, you know, any of those things, whatever it is for mm-hmm. you, it can happen. And sometimes there's this, and I've recommended this book before. It's this little book called Manage Your Day to Day, Build Your Routine, Find Your Focus, and Sharpen Your Creative Mind. And it's an interesting little book. It's just, you know, a book you can keep around and read the short articles here and there. But it talks in here about not doing reactive work
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the day, when is usually when you're freshest and you're going to do your best work. So you need to take maybe the first hour of your work day and sit down and do like tackle a project that needs done. And then after you do that, when you're tired, you know, right before lunch, when your energy is flagging, then you can do all the reactive work that doesn't necessarily take 100% or 110% of your mental capacity and all of that kind of stuff. Because mm-hmm. it says creativity. In the book how we often waste the most creative and productive hours of our day doing things that don't require any creativity or even as much cognitive, you know, power as mm-hmm. some of these other projects. So I think that's a great, and I do that. I mean, when we get up, I often spend the first half hour or so of the day doing some work that I need to get done for later on in the day, mm-hmm. because I know it's just, I don't know, I have ideas, like, I don't know if I dream them or whatever, but I come up with ideas in the evening, mm-hmm. and then in the morning when I get up is kind of when I sit down and implement all those things that I thought of the night before
mm-hmm.
For various projects that I'm working on, that kind of thing, so.
Yeah, when I was driving over to Tom's today, I was listening to a podcast, and it was a girl that's a web designer and a robot engineer. Go figure. And she said, yeah, some of my, because they said, how do you get ideas for your robots and different things? And she said, some of my best ideas are from the time in between me waking up and me getting out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, so many times it's so hard for me not to, you know, jump out of bed and start doing those things like right away because I have other things I need mm-hmm. to do. But yeah, that's true because you have all that creativity.
And I do. And I usually, because I wake up fairly early usually, and usually Brian's not awake yet. So I just kind of lay there for a while. try not to wake him up, and you know, my mind's always on, so I'm just laying there thinking about things and processing things, and often I come up with ideas for things that I need to post to the various Facebook pages that I manage and that kind of stuff. So often I get up and do that right away in the morning, which is nice because then it gets that out of the way. I mean, some days I can get everything done for the entire week in, you know, a good half hour, 45 minutes in the morning, all the things scheduled that I need to schedule and everything kind of up and ready and rolling. So I don't have to think about it the rest of the week, which is really nice because then I'm not trying to do it at the last minute. I always feel like I don't like procrastination. I always feel like when I have to do things at the last minute, I don't do them as well. And it takes me twice as long as if I do them when I've got the energy and the excitement and the, you know, I'm ready to roll.
Well, and that's like going back to my Facebook comment. If I spend 20 minutes sitting there reading news articles, to be honest, I don't want to be sitting in the office.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be out in the garden with you, or I want to be riding around the tractor. I want to be doing 100 other things than sitting at my computer. So why do I do that? It doesn't make any sense. So no Facebook. Who's with me? I'm going to start. I was just going to say. I'm going to start a website that's anti, like, I'm giving up Facebook for a week. But then, of course, that would take time. So
you just have to set parameters of when you're going to get on there. That's what I try to do.
That's right.
I try to not check it all the time. You know, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I do. Like, sometimes I'm working and I've contacted my dad and I need information. You know, I, like, need him to send something back to me. And then I just kind of keep it open and check it regularly because one of the things I need to get done hinges on getting some information from him. So, I mean, sometimes I do, but generally I really try not to because it wastes so much time when I would much rather read a book and learn something or just go sit outside and do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather sit outside and just watch the birds or the dragonflies fly around.
Because like you said, reading the newspaper and those types of things, I mean, it's good to be informed and we're not saying that that's, you know, but in the same way, how does that get you closer to your ultimate goals? Mm-hmm. You know, so we want to have a hedge up in the garden. How does me being on Facebook get us closer to that goal? Because that's a goal that we want. That's a goal that we have. You know, and it's like, I mean, I don't know. I don't want us to sound like we're also sitting around all day long and analyzing, you know, every single aspect of our lives, but it's something worth thinking about that you need to maximize, you know, your time and your energy because you only have so much of it. Do you have another quote? You just picked up that book again. But that book, we should post that book as one of our books of the week. What's it called? Manage Your Day-to-Day.
Manage Your Day-to-Day. Build your routine, find your focus, and sharpen your creative mind.
Yeah.
It's just a great little book. It's full of, I mean, interesting quotes, good typography. It's, you know, I don't know that you're just going to sit down and read it cover to cover. But there's a good bathroom book. I've found some good information in here.
If you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And why don't you talk, we have one more question, but it kind of rounds out the podcast. So why don't you talk about our other book of the week? We were talking about Monty Don earlier.
And it's called The Ivington Diaries, which I purchased.
Very vast.
Unfortunately, none of my local libraries had a copy, and I really wanted to read it. So I bought a used copy.
Give the title again, because I think I walked on you there.
The Ivington Diaries.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting because I ordered the book. And when you order a book used off Amazon, sometimes it's like 3 weeks before it comes and you completely forget that you ordered it. And we went down to the mailbox and there was a package from, where was it from?
Finland. Oh, yeah.
Finland. And I was like, that's weird. Finland. And so here it's this book. And it's interesting because I only paid like $3.25 for the book, and then it was $3.99 for shipping.
Jeez.
And how are these people making any money if they're shipping me a book? And it's a big book. I mean, it's probably 2.5 inches thick. So how are they making any money shipping this book from me to me from Finland when I only paid them like $7 or $8 or something, like something ridiculous like that. But yeah, so, and it's great. I mean, I haven't had a ton of time to read it since I got it a couple days ago, but I've probably read, I don't know, 20 or 30 pages. And it's really interesting because it's kind of a diary of his process of building this garden. And so it's interesting to read about his thought processes, and some of it's just kind of mundane, like what he did that day. But I find it fascinating to read about other people's routines. It's kind of a lot like what we're talking about here, you know, reading about other people's routines and how they do things and how they develop, just the things that they do and why they do them and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I find it interesting, and the whole ideas behind his garden and where he gets them. And yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, some other people might not find it interesting to read about
somebody else's garden
moving. You know, he was, what I just read, he was talking about moving a bunch of hedges. So, I mean, some people might not find that interesting. But I think it's hilarious because move, he's talking, you know, about moving all, yeah, how in the gardens you're always moving plants here and there. And, you know, you come up with this great idea, but it never quite works out. So you end up moving stuff. And I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that I never think it as it's going to be in the end. I have these ideas, but I have to see them kind of in action in order to fine tune it and make it the way it needs to be. So I'm a lot that way too. Have the broad scope, but hopefully we won't be moving any giant horn beams in 10 years. Oh, but geez, you never know. We've got the tractor though, so yep, not a big problem.
Got the backhoe. Makes it very convenient.
Yep. So, but I don't think he had a tractor. So
so that's the Ivington Diaries. And we'll put a link to that, yeah, in the show notes, as we do every week. And the Manage Your Day-to-Day book. We'll link those both up in the show notes.
And I just ordered two new books, which I'm pretty excited about. They'll probably be books of the week next week. Super, super excited about getting them.
And the good thing about us linking those up in the show notes is that it actually helps to support us a little bit, and that's where our last question comes from. Debbie B. asked, I have a bookmark for Amazon that goes through your affiliate link. It says Second Mile Productions, which, by the way, is the name of our company. So,
which is now going to be changed to Second Mile Media.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because our PayPal account is under that name too.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works with PayPal, but so the PayPal that donations come into for the blog and for the podcast, mm-hmm, is under our business name as well. So if that's ever confused anyone, so she says that the link has Second Mile Productions, but when I click through to the Kindle store, it didn't show the affiliate name in the resulting URL. Does it have to reference Second Mile Productions through the ending purchase in order for you to get credit? If so, my handy bookmark may not be doing any good. And so we wanted to let Debbie and everyone else know that when you use one of the links on the podcast, either through the show notes or in the sidebar, and it takes you to Amazon, mm-hmm, that link is good for, I believe it's like 24 hours. But if, mm-hmm, if you went to Amazon and then it's been a couple hours, come back to cultivatesimple.com or to chiotron.com and click on one of those books again to get to Amazon, because the link, they actually put it into your session ID, and it saves it even after you navigate away from that page. So it is good, even if you don't buy that book. Mm-hmm. And that's another point that we wanted to make with this, is that if you're just going to buy, you know, a case of toilet paper, as we do every once in a while through Amazon, then come over to the website, click through to Amazon through one of the book links, mm-hmm, and then anything you purchase, we get a few cents off that order, and that helps to support the blog and the podcast, and helps us to buy interesting books that we can talk about, mm-hmm, and to do different yeah, projects.
And it will show the name at the top, like when you first go to Amazon, but then when you click through to a product, it's not there.
Right.
So
yeah, the URL doesn't carry over working to every page, but
it's just,
it does continue to work. Like, yeah, I said, I think it's for 24 hours. I think it's whenever they clear your session data out, but I think it's for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you need to click through again, but just, you know, whenever you're going to go to Amazon, if you save the Amazon affiliate link in your little bookmark bar, whenever, mm-hmm, you go to Amazon, just use that bookmark rather than typing amazon.com into the URL.
Yeah, I've got one for someone, and then there are a couple other blogs that I occasionally go through and click through theirs to give them a little bonus.
Yep. And there's some other links like that on the Cultivate Simple or the Chiyotes Run website. Mountain Rose Herbs and isn't there one other one? Forge.
Clarington Forge.
Yeah, and we just get a few dollars from those. And that's a great way to support the podcast and the mm-hmm. blog in kind of a passive way. It gives us a few dollars here and there. Mm-hmm. And we're definitely not getting rich off of it. we're way below minimum wage as far as the blog and that the podcast are concerned.
Hosting.
Yeah, it covers our hosting bills, which is good because they keep getting more and more expensive, it seems. But that's kind of the way I wanted to round out the podcast tonight in talking about WB's question, because I just wanted to encourage everyone to support the podcast mm-hmm. and support
and
the
we
blog.
Appreciate it.
We had a $50 donation come in this week, which was mm-hmm. huge. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much to Lisa. She sent us $50 to help out with the blog and the podcast. And that means a lot to us. It really encourages us. And we do a little happy dance of joy whenever we see one of those emails come in. And thank you also to the people who have done $5 a month donations, mm-hmm. Signed up for that in the sidebar on the website. And it's just a $5 a month recurring donation. So for the, you know, price of a special latte at Starbucks, skip one of those every month and instead help us out a little bit, give us some value. And we believe in a value for value proposition. Mm-hmm. If you're getting value from the podcast, then give us some value. And also you can help us out by subscribing or going to iTunes and leaving us a review. That helps out. And also voting down all of the negative reviews. That would be great. just say that, no, they're not helpful. But you can also like Chiyotes Run on Facebook. And I haven't mentioned these in a while. You can also go to Eat Outside the Bag if you want to see some interesting recipes that Susie's sharing that she hasn't updated in a while. She's definitely not as day-by-day or day-to-day on that
blog
or month-to-month or once a year, you know, you get a good recipe.
I need to put more on there because that's kind of the spot where I put recipes that I really like and I want to keep and make sure I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to put them on a blog somewhere. And then right. I always go there and search for recipes that I'm looking for because I know they're there. So, and I've come across a few really good recipes recently that I need to write down.
Which is how the blog started out.
Yep.
How Chiyotes Run started out. Isn't it interesting? We went to I don't know what you'd call that, a picnic mm-hmm. luncheon sort of thing today.
Yeah.
The Madamak Valley Land Trust, which is the land trust that sort of operates in the area that we live in. They had a little get together today at a local winery and we got invited to it by by Joan, our friend Joan, who we've talked about before. She is the one who actually found this property for us, who found this house for mm-hmm. us. And that's interesting because she was a commenter on the blog. That's how we met her. So I told the story today and I've told it before about how if it wasn't for the blog, we probably wouldn't be at this location. Mm-hmm. We might still be in Maine or in New England at least, but we wouldn't be here. And also because of that, the job that I was talking about at the top of the show, mm-hmm. Joan found that for us as well. So it's just, it's amazing. It's really interesting how, you know, technology and everything that we've done has kind of looped around and I don't know. It's just, it's really interesting. It's interesting how life works sometimes. But you know, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. I just really think I just find it fascinating.
Who would have thought? Yeah,
who would have thought? It's just one of those.
It's one of those things that happens. It's not the outcome you're expecting when you start something, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't expect, you know, I mean, I blog for a variety of reasons, you know, none of which are, I mean, you know, it's not like I blog for money or
lucrative
or lucrative or any of that. It really keeps my creativity going. You know, I appreciate putting information out there, encouraging other people to garden. I remember our friend Sophie in Ohio, and she told me once, she said, I hate to garden. She said, but I read your blog and you make gardening look like so much fun. So then that spring she bought a ton of seeds from Renee's garden and ripped up her whole backyard. And now her backyard looks great. She has this beautiful edible garden back there, and chickens and ducks and geese and I mean, all kinds of stuff. And it's just great because I remember her saying, oh, you make gardening look like so much fun, you know, and she lost her job at that point. And that's kind of what she's done since not spend money, I guess, to save money, right. That kind of thing. But, you know, she's done a great job and all for that, from hating to garden. So it's kind of interesting how I hope it can encourage people to find joy in that kind of thing.
Well, and that's what it's always been about, mm-hmm. is educating people, encouraging people. And, you know, and now with the podcast, trying to get people to cultivate simple.
I'd rather be a farmer. I'd rather work the land. I'd rather see the mountainsides. I'd rather see your hand. I'd rather swim the ocean. I'd rather not pretend. I'd rather do some thinking now. But somehow it all depends. If I could fly away from me, to ride this wind above the tree. I'd rather see my hometown. I'd rather hold my wife. I'd rather never question things. That's the story of my life. I'd rather not be crying. I'd rather just be whole. I'd rather brave the cleansing fire. I'd rather feed my soul. If I could fly away from me, to ride this wind above the tree. Open to suggestions. I'm crying out to you. I'm ready to be finished here. I'm ready for this season to be if I could fly. come and face the longing. Whoa.